Thank you very much, Reverend Pratt and Graham, and all the assembled students and the teachers. I'm very overwhelmed, grateful, and humbled to be in such a deep spiritual atmosphere with such a deep tradition. The Sanskrit word in the Hindu tradition, the spiritual language is Sanskrit. The Sanskrit word for religion is Dharma. And it doesn't indicate a particular faith, but it indicates the very nature of our soul to worship God and to serve others. Now I'd like to start with a meditation. I'd like each person here to think of the person that they admire the most. And I would also like you to think of what qualities in that person make you admire that person the most. Now, I hope it wasn't just a famous athlete, because it may be a very proud person or person that's cruel. Of course, you could have chosen a famous athlete, but hopefully, because he was humble, he had gratitude. I hope that the qualities that you were thinking of are the qualities that are trying to be instilled within you here. The qualities of selflessness, service, the qualities of humility to others. This is such an important thing to save part of your day for spirituality. Voltaire, a famous French philosopher, he said a very interesting thing. He said, that which you appreciate gradually belongs to you. So one of the most important things in your training and development is to have the right exemplars. I'll tell you about the person that I thought of. I thought of my uncle. His name was Alexander Good. And he was a spiritual person, a minister. And during the World War II, when he saw the type of aggression that was happening and how people were oppressed by people who didn't have these spiritual qualities, even though he was a minister and he was exempt from service, he immediately volunteered and he was posted as a chaplain. And he was posted on a battleship called the USS Dorchester, along with some other chaplains, and they were known as the Four Chaplains. Now, this was a very dangerous assignment. And it was a very dangerous assignment because the battleship had to go from Greenland across to Europe, and there were many, many dangerous U-2 submarines. So his battleship was hit, and it began to sink, and the preparations weren't made properly. And then the duty of the ministers, and this is real spiritual life. If you're really spiritual and you really want to be happy, your principle is you have to think of others before yourself. What to speak of someone who is taking that role to teach this principle to other people. So they would get many of the people off the ship, and there weren't enough lifeboats. And young men, 18 and 19, who just came from America, were panicking. And then the ship sank, after the chaplains got everyone else off the battleship, and then half the people lived. And some of the people that lived, the last thing they saw was the four chaplains of different denominations in Om and Om singing the Psalms of David. And I recently went on the internet and Googled my uncle's name, and there were testimonies from people. One testimony was what young sailor that came and was trying to find a way out, and he didn't have his gloves, and this was in the cold water. It was absolute requirement for someone to survive that. And my uncle said to him, "Here, take my gloves." And he said, "But Reverend, I can't take your gloves." He said, "I have another pair." And then this person remembered, my uncle didn't have another pair. But his principle was to serve others before himself. Now I want you to also think, what would you do in that same situation? Now, this is not just, you know, maybe someone else doesn't have their lunch and you share with them. This is giving your life. What would you do in that situation? And why would you do it? Well, what we understand, and I know there's not very much time, that your ultimate benefit is to act for the soul, because the soul is eternal and everything else is temporary. I know, for example, what I just do in the short time I have is just to explain another way that you can understand what spirituality is. Spirituality is your essence. What is the essence of something? Essence means the quality which cannot be taken away. What's the essence of water? Liquidity. If I give you something and it's not wet, it's not water. What's the essence of sugar? It's sweetness. If I give you something and it's not sweet, it's not sugar. What is your essence? What is the quality in you that cannot be taken away? It's the quality to serve, because that is our nature. Just like if you have someone who's a very old lady and perhaps she didn't have any children and she's a widow, if she doesn't have anything else, she'll get a dog. Why? Because our essence or our quality or who we are is to serve and love. To serve God and to serve others. And in doing so, we also serve ourselves. Just like here, I have a body and I have a hand. The hand is part of the body. So how does the hand become satisfied? It becomes satisfied by serving the body. When it serves the body, everything else is replenished. If the hand takes the food and doesn't understand that it's part of the body and meant for the service of the body and acts independently, it will not be satisfied. So we are part of a spark of consciousness, of the supreme divine consciousness, and all great teachers teach us that if we want to be happy, we have to understand our essence, our spiritual essence. And we have to serve God, which means also to serve others. I'll just finish with one more short story of another person I admired. I live in India, and as Mr. Miles, I met Mr. Miles there. And I live in a place called Vrindavan. And the core of it is 10 square miles, and it has 5,000 temples. And I've been living there for 35, 40 years. It's a very spiritual place, and that's why I like to live there. But one day I went out into the country, and there was great floods, and there were a lot of places where they grow flowers. So I was walking out into the country, and I met one simple farmer. And we began to talk to him in the local language, and what he revealed is that his livelihood for his family, and he had five children, was to grow flowers. And the flood had wiped out all his gardens. And he was explaining that he lost what's equivalent, it says 2 lakh, it's 200,000 rupees. That's $4,000. That's not a small amount here, but that is a fortune there. And he kept on talking about all his troubles. But what I saw is that his eyes were sparkling like diamonds. Even when he's explaining his troubles, his smile was just, it was like emanating a kind of light of satisfaction and happiness all through his body. So finally, I questioned him, and I wanted to know, why are you so happy? And he said something that I would like to leave with you, and I would like you to think about it when you pursue your life and your careers and your day. He said to me, it was almost, we call it in India, mantra, like a short phrase that had so much meaning. And he said, happiness is a heart filled with devotion. Happiness is a heart filled with selflessness and love for God and for others. So thank you very much.
Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And together we say, Amen. Our final hymn today is hymn 554. We will sing through it twice. Please stand.